Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Inner Life here on this Monday in the octave of Easter. I hope you had a wonderful day yesterday celebrating Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And today I'd like to start off this hour of The Inner Life with a short homily, reading a short homily to you. And this was originally composed somewhere in the late 4th or early 5th century, but at least over 1,500 years ago at this point. And this is the Paschal Homily from St. John Chrysostom. And it speaks beautifully to how all the faithful are welcome. They're called to join in the celebration of the resurrection. Rejoice because Christ has overcome death, overcome the grave. So again, this is the Paschal Homily from St. John Chrysostom. Is there anyone who is devout, a devout lover of God? Let them enjoy this beautiful, bright festival. Is there anyone who is a grateful servant? Let them rejoice and enter into the joy of their Lord. Are there any weary with fasting? Let them now receive their wages. If any have toiled from the first hour, let them receive their due reward. If any have come after the third hour, let him with gratitude join in the feast. And he that arrived after the sixth hour, let him not doubt, for he too shall sustain no loss. And if any delayed until the ninth hour, let him not hesitate, but let him come too. And he who arrived only at the 11th hour, let him not be afraid by reason of his delay. For the Lord is gracious, and receives the last even as the first. He gives rest to him that comes at the 11th hour, as well as to him that toiled from the first. To this one he gives, and upon another he bestows. He accepts the works as he greets the endeavor, the deed he honors, and the intention he commends. Let us all enter into the joy of the Lord. First and last alike, receive your reward. Rich and poor, rejoice together. Sober and slothful, celebrate the day. You that have kept the fast, and you that have not, rejoice today, for the table is richly laden. Feast royally on it. The calf is a fatted one. Let no one go away hungry. Partake all of the cup of faith. Enjoy all the riches of his goodness. Let no one grieve at his poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one mourn that he has fallen again and again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destroyed it by enduring it. He destroyed Hades when he descended into it. He put it into an uproar, even as it tasted of his flesh. Isaiah foretold this when he said, "You, O hell, have been troubled by encountering him below." Hell was in an uproar because it was done away with. It was in an uproar because it is mocked. It was in an uproar for it is destroyed. It is in an uproar for it is annihilated. It is in an uproar for it now is made captive. Hell took a body and discovered God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. Christ is risen, and the tomb is emptied of its dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Again, that's that Paschal homily from St. John Chrysostom. And the celebration of the resurrection, for us as Catholics, it's not isolated only to yesterday, only to Easter Sunday. In fact, we're only just starting to celebrate because we're now in the season of Easter. Lent is over. Now it's time to rejoice. And that's what we want to talk about today here on The Inner Life, how we can carry the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus into the coming days, the coming weeks, and how the resurrection should transform us every day for the rest of our lives. And joining us here on The Inner Life to help us look at the resurrection of Christ and how we celebrate that, Father Marcel Tyone is back with us once again. Father Tyone is a priest in the Diocese of Providence, Rhode Island. He's the pastor at St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Father Tyone, welcome back to The Inner Life. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you and everybody listening this morning. Wonderful to be back.
Well, and so talking about the resurrection, obviously that's going to be the topic here right following Easter Sunday. Talking about the resurrection, it might be good just to talk about how this is so foundational and crucial for our faith. You know, St. Paul, he writes in his first letter to the Corinthians that if the resurrection didn't happen, our faith is empty and we should be pitied most among any people. So can you talk to us about the resurrection, what it means for us as followers of Christ, and if the resurrection did happen, you know, if it didn't happen, well, we're all wasting our time here, but if it truly did happen, then it should be a transforming event for us.
So, you know, you hit the nail on the head. It's Easter is the most important day of the year for Christians, for Catholics, and it's interesting that it's so critical because St. Paul and many others, right? So if the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ did not happen, then we should just close the churches. It's really the foundation, the fundamental, obviously God sent his only son. He had human nature and divine nature, died on Good Friday, but he was not resuscitated, but resurrected in his glorified body. And we know that to be true by the witnesses that met Jesus shortly after, really from Easter on, he appeared to many, many people, the same people that were so scared and denied him and were afraid to be arrested themselves, who went through enormous persecutions and torture and crucifixions themselves. Literally, they were no longer afraid of death. And the reason was they had not only seen the empty tomb, but they encountered Jesus risen in his glorified body, certainly until the Feast of Pentecost. So it's a critical cornerstone. We think of what we celebrate Christmas once a year. We celebrate birthdays of people we love once a year, but we celebrate Easter every Sunday since the Sunday of Resurrection. So that's why it's the first day of the week, and we have Holy Mass every Sunday. Even we have a Vigil Mass. Why do we call Saturday Mass is a Vigil? The Vigil waiting for Sunday, the day of Easter. So every Sunday, Easter is celebrated in the Catholic Church and Christian churches throughout the world, and because it's the central mystery that makes relevant all other mysteries that Christ taught. So he was a great preacher. He performed miracles or exercised miracles. All those things are amazing. But what is central is the bodily resurrection. Without it, Christianity's main claim is, as St. Paul says, all would be rubbish if it wasn't true. And that is true. So that's a lot to be joyful about. And we know that Good Friday was the worst day in human history, became the means of the greatest day, which is Sunday. So, you know, people, how can we be joyful in Easter if we're in a rough time right now, or things are not going well in our personal life or in our family or in our work or the world? People can get very discouraged, but we're called by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit and the Church to kind of celebrate the joy of Easter. And I loved Easter morning second reading from St. Paul. He said, think of things that are above, not only things of the earth. And so that's a way to become joyful at Easter, regardless of what we might be struggling with in our own lives or people that we love. So there is a permanent joy. Again, not a happiness, a fleeting happiness or sadness come and go, but the joy of the gospel of the good news. So we're celebrating the bodily resurrection of Jesus, not just his spirit, but his body. And that's why Christians, Catholics, we bring the bodies to church for funerals when we can. We incense. We're incarnational. God became man. He entered into human race. He was an unborn child. Then he was a boy. Then a teenager. Then a man, and was crucified in his body. And his body was raised up. And that's what we're celebrating today. So I don't know if the listeners know or not, but the Easter season is 50. We had Lent for 40 days. Easter season is 50 days, giving it even more prominence, more importance than even all the fasting and things we've done. We're celebrating 50 days, and the first 8 days is called the octave. So 8 days, really like Easter morning, we went to daily Mass today. We prayed the Gloria today. We try to sing an Alleluia. We keep the festivities going from Sunday. So it's one long Easter week this week, and then 40 more days after that. So it's a joyful, we're celebrating the bodily resurrection of Christ. And if someone's, especially if someone's grieving, I think the grieving among us, which, you know, everyone grieves at some point in their life and loses people to this world, Easter is the answer and, if you will, the vaccine, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, the vaccine against the virus that is death, that we're all mortal but made immortal from the moment of our baptism. So, and that's why baptisms were celebrated throughout the world and the whole church everywhere, because it's the ramification of the resurrection is to be baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. So after we die, if you go to a Catholic funeral, the word rest is used all the way through, not death. And if you go to baptism, the word death is used throughout that ceremony, buried in Christ, dying with Christ. So we kind of, even in the sacramental language we use, it plays out the theology of our belief. Baptism is a death. And death on earth, once one is baptized, one is in Christ, or just as Christ rose from the dead, so too will the soul continue to live in Christ, and one day the body will be raised up. That's why Christians keep bodies and have cemeteries, and you know, other religions do not, because they don't understand or believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. So that even affects what we do with our deceased relatives' remains and how we honor them, and actually what we look forward to. So Easter Sunday brings a foreshadowing of a great joy that will be ours upon the last day when the Lord returns. So there's a lot of good things to meditate on, and I would encourage everyone who's listening to enter into meditation and thought, maybe even a little study about the reality of what Easter really is and what it's done for us and what it promises us in the future. And it's a lot, and it's greatest truth in human history and the most important cornerstone of our faith, and that's what we're celebrating this week.
Talking with Father Marcel Taillon today here on The Inner Life, and also want to open up the phone lines for your call. And how do you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in your life, maybe in your home with your family? What do you do to make Easter have that special significance and continue that celebration beyond just yesterday, just Easter Sunday? How do you live that out day in and day out? Has it made a difference maybe in the way you interact with people here yesterday and today with your family and your friends, maybe your coworkers? Would they recognize that you're celebrating the resurrection of Christ from the dead in how you conduct yourself here in these days, these weeks of this season of Easter, and hopefully every day? The studio line to call in and join us here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can also email innerlife@relevantradio.com. And Father Taillon, as you're talking about the bodily resurrection, you know, that some people might think it's only a spiritual resurrection, that goes back again even to the early centuries of Christianity, where there were different heresies that were put forth. And these had to then be discussed, and we came with, it ultimately came to the Council of Nicaea, where we have the Nicene Creed that talks about Christ fully God, fully human. And I know that's why you're making such a strong point. It's the bodily resurrection. It's not something that is, that the body might have died, there was a spiritual resurrection, but the body didn't come back to life. Very, very crucial for our understanding as Catholics.
Exactly, and it's a very important thing, and I do think it affects the way we celebrate funerals. The pandemic certainly changed a lot of things and accelerated maybe a kind of a more secular idea that once the soul goes home of someone we love, that the body, it's almost like the letter you open, you know, the body's the envelope. We open the envelope, we take out the letter, we throw the envelope in the trash. And I'm not, you know, but saying people intentionally do that, but In other words, we believe in the bodily resurrection. So again, we are incarnational faith, and Christ was made incarnate. And you're right, though, in the early centuries, the church fathers, that's why it's so great to read John Chrysostom and St. Irenaeus and all these amazing people that wanted to make sure that the apostolic teaching on the bodily resurrection was preserved and promoted and guarded as what we call the deposit of faith, an unchangeable truth, like the seven sacraments, the Bible, the canonical Bible chosen by the early leaders of the church and what we call the apostolic tradition. So the resurrection of the body of Christ and our own eternal life are really the cornerstone of our faith. And every Sunday when we go to Mass, I think the creed is a great, what is the creed where it explains the three persons of the Trinity, the four marks of the church, one holy Catholic apostolic. And what do we say at the end? It says, I believe in life everlasting, bodily resurrection, life eternal. Like we end the creed by saying, I believe I'm going to live forever because of my baptism, and one day my body will be raised up. We actually say that every Sunday on the Easter, right? Every Sunday is a small Easter all year long. So we actually profess to believe that publicly in our communities of faith. And I just hope, you know, maybe that's one way we can be more attentive to those lines in the creed, or kind of read the creed, not just saying it like the Pledge of Allegiance. We can, you know, even the prayers, we can sort of, we know them so well, we kind of rattle it off. But I think the Easter season, we're great to have the joy of Easter, is to read the creed, kind of pray through the creed before Sunday. That's a great way to say the creed means more to you when you're actually professing it. Again, when we say the same things over and over again, they tend to lose their punch or their sort of shock value. But I would say it's sometimes a nice way to read the creed backwards. Start with the bottom, right? Start there. And in other words, read it, start the last paragraph and go backwards. It makes you pay attention to what the words are saying. And it's a good way to kind of study it a bit and really, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what it is that we're saying that we believe together as a church. It's amazing. It's so wonderful. It describes the God himself as revealed by Jesus. And then, again, at the end, the summation of the whole creed is that we too will live forever, we'll have eternal life, and our body will be raised up on the last day. That's what we say. That's what we celebrate. So that's a reason for joy, no matter what we might be experiencing in our daily life right now, for sure.
Father Marcel Tyone, our spiritual director on The Inner Life, and how do you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in your life? What have you done to continue that celebration every Sunday through the season of Easter? How have you experienced the joy that Father Marcel Tyone is talking about, that joy of the resurrection? How have you experienced that in your own life? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149 is the number to call in and join the program here as we talk with Father Tyone on The Inner Life. And we're going to be right back in just a moment here. You're listening to Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Today, we'd like to thank Jed, who's listening in New Mexico, for donating his Ford. Join thousands of other listeners in donating your old vehicle today by visiting relevantradio.com/car. Happy Easter. Welcome back to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond, and our spiritual director for the hour, Father Marcel Tyone. He is a priest in the Diocese of Providence, Rhode Island, the pastor at St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Narragansett, Rhode Island. And today, talking about how we carry the celebration of Easter into this week of Easter, into the season of Easter that goes on for the next, 49 days now. And how are you living that out in your life? Maybe you have a question about celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Christ. And you can call in and speak with Father Tyone at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And if you were listening during the break here just a moment ago, you would have heard a reflection from Father James Kubicki, and he was talking about how this is such an important week that we won't celebrate any saints during this week, that it's all focused on the resurrection of Christ. And Father Tyone, Father Kubicki ended up saying, every day is essentially a solemnity here during the octave of Easter, because every day during these 8 days, this octave of Easter, it's supposed to be regarded as such a high celebration. You mentioned that with Lent, you know, it's 40 days. Celebrating Easter, we have 50 days, so it's a longer period. There's more time spent celebrating than there is in that penitential attitude. You mentioned Christmas. We celebrate for a day, but there is a season of Christmas as well, the days after Christmas Day itself. Easter, outside of ordinary time, is that longest season that we celebrate in the church, and really speaks to the fact that celebrating the resurrection should be the most important rejoicing and celebration that we do all year round as Catholics.
No, for sure. And so even in ordinary time, right, every Sunday we celebrate Easter all through ordinary time. In Advent, we celebrate Easter every Sunday in Advent season. I mean, in the Easter season, we are just pouring kerosene on the celebration. We want a big fire. You know, you want a big fire. Everyone gets warm from it, and everyone's changed by it, and everyone's, you know, humbled by it and also inspired by it. It's God's made us a promise that if you're baptized, you live forever, and your body's going to be raised up in glory one day. So, gosh, that's a very generous promise and a very joy-filled promise, a reason to have hope amidst even physical suffering or emotional distress, whatever else is going on. We live in that promise and do that. So, yeah, it's a great time, and it's right. There's so all the that's why even on Sundays, right, we don't celebrate anything except Christ and the resurrection on Sundays. Even throughout the year, we don't have saints' feast days on Sundays. We always. Right. The whole liturgical calendar bows to Christ and his resurrection. It's all about Christ. So every saint has only done great things and been heaven by Christ's grace and by their faith in him, by their belief in the death and resurrection, their own baptismal life being lived out. And every saint lives for and to from the resurrection of Christ. So that's why the church calendar always bows to Sunday, right? So we need to recognize that. Sometimes we have a lot of great saints throughout the year and great feast days. You know, so we have feasts in the church, and then we have solemnities. Solemnity is like the highest form of exaltation in the church's life. And so we have the solemnity. So Christmas is a solemnity, but so is Easter. And it's this long, great, special season ending with what? At the 50th day at the end of Easter is the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down. The Catholic Church was founded by Jesus Christ and by his Heavenly Father, sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and Mary. And after that day, so for 50 days, we need to remember the first Easter Sunday. It wasn't all like, boom, everyone knew everything that was going on. They had to sort of walk through the mysteries of understanding the reality of Christ's resurrection. We saw that in this morning's gospel. If you heard a daily mass today, Mary Magdalene, you know, he says, you know, don't touch me. I'm going to ascend, go to Galilee. And he keeps appearing to them. And of course, the culmination of he promises that if I don't leave, you won't receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus clearly reveals the Trinity during the Easter Gospels, and it's wonderful to read. Again, if you have time, I think a great way to celebrate the Easter season is to read the resurrection narratives in the Gospels. And then the other thing is the Acts of the Apostles, ACTS, right? Not Acts, but Acts the Apostles is all sort of, if you will, the Pentecostal nature, the going out and filled with the Holy Spirit of the early Catholic Church. And so the Acts of the Apostles are also maybe towards the second half of Easter. Maybe this first half, I would suggest reading the gospel narratives. You know, we had the long readings of the Passion, the suffering of Jesus, but why not read the resurrection accounts now in the Gospels? And then maybe towards the end, getting ready for Pentecost, read the Acts of the Apostles. It's not that long, and you really see the change in these people. So we know Peter, James, John, the apostles, Mary, the other women, you know, they had to sort of come to understand the reality of a glorified and risen Jesus Christ. And he encountered them, and these encounters gave them increased their faith. So they never doubted that Christ had risen. And then they received the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit you and I receive every time we have a sacramental encounter right now in this program. If something is moving us about Christ, that's the Holy Spirit working through relevant radio in each of our souls and minds, teaching us, affirming us, encouraging us, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of encouragement, all those gifts we receive. So a great way to celebrate Easter with your family is read the resurrection accounts. And I think, you know, maybe it'd be a good time of year to read before Sunday the Sunday accounts. And then the 8 days this week, that octave, if you can't be at Mass, just reading the gospel passages from these morning Masses are powerful. And then I think reading the Acts of the Apostles is great. That there are so many things we can do to celebrate Easter. We have to understand it better, the mystery of it, to be able to worship and praise the Lord in it. So I think we got to do a little spiritual homework, and we're kind of all relieved, right? Everyone's eating their chocolate or having their drink or whatever they gave up for Lent. Everyone's kind of indulging. They're happy Lent's over. We're happy. That's a spirit of rejoice. We actually enter into Lent. We don't have to do those particular fastings anymore, but we still need to kind of now flip over into the resurrection mode of celebrating Christ. And that means, you know, we can still do fasting and prayers for Ukraine and other things, pro-life intentions and other things we might want to do personally. We don't stop all of it, but we enter into the joy of the resurrection. And I think that's a powerful way to celebrate Easter, is to meditate on what it really is, but walk with these people, you know, these apostles, and, you know, they had to kind of figure it out and keep trusting. In fact, Jesus gave them what they needed to increase their faith. Remember, in the Gospels tell us that people that begged for more faith receive it. So, like, if you're not, some people get, you know, they get confronted by the mystery of the resurrection, and they have faith, but they have a doubt. You just, Lord Jesus, help me understand and believe that you rose from the dead, you're seated at the right hand of God our Father in glory, at his right hand. Give me the grace to be blown away, to be inspired, encouraged with the reality of the Trinitarian God that you are, and living in me in my baptism, helping me through the day, my day, and that's celebrating Easter. That's the joy of Easter. We can, again, I go back to that reading that this Sunday was powerful. Think of things that are above, not just things on earth. And I think we need to raise our minds to heaven in these 50 days and just kind of be intentional about that. I don't know how often we Catholics meditate on the power of Christ's resurrection. It's not something that just happened before and that's it. It's a historical fact. Jesus died and he rose. We know that, but its effects are in our life in the church today. And certainly the world needs that, right? So you pray in Ukraine and Russia, they look up, not just around, but pray the Ukrainians and people affected by this war all over the world can look up to heaven and meditate upon Christ's power. There's always been problems in the world. We know, and again, today's gospel of Mass was great, right? We know for a fact that they tried to pay off the soldiers to lie about the resurrection. So isn't that something? That right away there was opposition to the truth about the resurrection because it threatened people. It certainly threatened religious authority in the old ways, and it threatened governments. And to this day, people are still opposed to the reality of Christ's resurrection. We have a lot of work to do. If lapsed Catholics or kind of nominal Christians are out there, they're all over our streets, they're in our neighborhoods, they're in our families. Sometimes we have to sort of re-evangelize people into the message of Easter joy. And that's one of the great graces. Another way to celebrate Easter is to share the news of the resurrection of Christ's body, glorious. And, you know, again, they identified him by the wounds of his body, was where the wounds became glorified. So remember, he says, put your hand in my side, like right where the soldier with Longinus put a sword in the side of Jesus. You know, the nails, his hands, where had the holes were glorified from the crucifixion. Certainly, you know, Jesus wanted to make sure they understood that it was his body, it was him, the one that they saw crucified. So his wounds are his sort of the confirmation that it's definitely him. And it's, the accounts tell us that. And so, right. You know, I think we need to wrap our head around that and kind of be blown away. Like we look at Good Friday, we have crucifixes everywhere, and well, we should. But we look at the Eucharist and we believe the risen Jesus, his true presence is in every host and every drop of precious blood. The risen Jesus is present. So he cuts into our time from eternity and remains with us here in the tabernacle, at the Mass, in the sacramental encounters. But that's a reality. Like we can maybe, you know, meditating, gosh, the risen Jesus Christ is present in the Eucharist, crucified, dead, and risen. He's truly present in his risen from heaven, right? So the Lord is risen. So again, that's why Easter's all year, every Sunday, all the time. And that's why with the Eucharist every Sunday, right? Because the risen Jesus gives us himself in the Mass, in the consecrated, in the sacrifice that's made present today. So it all goes together. We have to make sure the resurrection has its place, meditating on the passion of Jesus. But we live that passion. We unite our sufferings to his, but we need to make sure that we don't forget about the good news of the resurrection. I think sometimes, you know, people are going to be more attracted to the church and to Jesus if they know the joy of how his life ended by being obedient to the Father, by uniting himself to the Father's will, by knowing when we look at a cross, do we see a joyful obedience of faith of Christ, or do we see some kind of endurance test that he kind of had to, like he willingly chose to stay on the cross. And I love the St. Catherine Vianney says he stayed on the cross not because of the nails holding him, because of his love for us, his love for you, kept Jesus on the cross. He had the power to get off. He had the power to annihilate. He could have done anything, but he pleased the Father. So we see self-gifting love being exchanged at the cross. And again, that human nature of Jesus crying out to the Father. And then now imagine, you know, the joy Jesus has of all these baptisms and confirmations around the world by the just thousands and thousands that happened this past weekend. That's another reason to have joy, even for cradle Catholics, right? We're just having the joy of watching the catechumens come into Christ. I mean, that's we had two baptisms here, four confirmations, and you just the reality of the gospel is being lived out right in front of us. So, you know, if no other reason to be joyful today on Easter Octave, just think of all the people that just got baptized, all these adults around the world, and many children that will be in this coming season. So that's why we kind of pause during Lent. Most places don't have baptisms and things. They just wait for the season of Easter to let the risen Christ loose on the people. And again, that baptism is a death. So we celebrate that death into Christ and promised eternal life. So there's a lot of great things to celebrate. We just have to let ourselves, I think, be blown away and intellectually and spiritually of the gifts and the generosity of God our Father, what he went through. And what did the Father go through on Good Friday? And then how pleased he was with Christ's obedience, his love, his faith in him. He trusted, and then he was raised up, and then wants us to really share in a confident way that God is the God of resurrection, not death. And don't we need that message today? we need
right.
people
well,
of resurrection. It's not false silliness, happiness, always in a good mood. That's not it. It's much deeper, much more profound. The joy of Easter is a profound a joy that comes from faith, from the gift of faith. And that's what God wants to give us and share with us. We just have to sort of ask him for it, I think. Don't be afraid to beg a little bit for more faith in the resurrection. I think it can change our disposition spiritually, certainly in daily life, I think.
Well, and I'd like to kind of go back to what you were saying there. You know, we have the crucifixes with the corpus, the body of Christ that hangs there in our churches, on the walls in our home. Even on our rosaries, you know, we have the crucifix there. And so much of our focus as Catholics is on that sacrifice of Christ. And, you know, even at Mass, as you were talking about, the Eucharist, we participate in that one true, pure, eternal sacrifice, the body and blood of Jesus offered there. So much in our faith really does center around the death, the atoning work of Christ. How do you think we can look at sacrifice that we don't stop at that, we don't stop at Good Friday. We don't just leave it there with the sadness and the sorrow of the passion, the suffering of Jesus. But we also don't divorce that from the resurrection, because that leads us then, when we encounter the resurrection, that's where we encounter hope. You know, we can have faith. We experience right now the love of Christ, but that hope is so tied in with the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen to that. So, you know, one of the criticisms sometimes Catholics receive from non-Catholic Christians, Protestants, well, they don't put the corpus, the crucified Christ, on their images of the cross because he's resurrected. So they will sometimes accuse the church of being almost stuck on Good Friday and not professing the resurrection of Christ. But of course, that's not what we're doing. We believe in everything. And it's helpful, right? So we know that Jesus he was risen, but he couldn't be raised up until he gave everything, his body and blood for us, for our sins. And that sacrifice becomes present at Mass. Christ risen is also present at Mass. So we have the corpus, and I'm so glad we do. It's our tradition. Why is that? Because even though we're baptized in the life, death, and suffering and resurrection of Jesus, we're still in the suffering part. Like, there's a lot of suffering in all of our lives. So we know that God suffered willingly and didn't have to do that, and it's love. We believe our suffering's been what we called redeemed. So everything got redeemed by Christ. The human person, human sexuality, our sinfulness, our contrition, our relationships, our existence, everything has a whole new revealed purpose now. So God creates the world. His highest creation is the human person. Adam and Eve, disobedience comes into the garden, and everything falls apart. Adam against Eve against Adam. They hide from God. And Christ comes to reunite, to reconcile all of humanity that is open to it, to being back in communion with God better than even before, because now he's willingly and willfully sent his son to die for us, because who of us deserves to go to heaven? You know, we're not Christ, we're not perfect, but this is the glory of the promise of the faith, that if we give ourselves to Christ, we confess our sins, we listen to the church's teachings, we ask for the gift of faith, then we too be counted among the saints. So it's this wonderful journey, and it's an Easter journey. So, but I love that we have the corpuses. The Mass is sacrificial, right? It's the sacrifice made present. So Protestants don't believe in the Eucharist as we do. So they don't believe in the true presence of the sacrifice being made present today. So you can see why our Eucharistic theology is so strong, that we believe Christ's sacrifice, his sacrifice and risen presence are present in the Eucharist. So what happened on Good Friday becomes present in a finite moment of time. So you can see, once you understand the Eucharistic theology of the Catholic Church, you see why we insist on having a crucifix whenever possible near the altar of sacrifice, because our theology of the Eucharist reveals to us that sacrifice being made present today. In some of our sister churches, Protestant churches, they don't believe that. They don't believe in the Holy Priesthood. They don't believe in the true presence of Christ. You can see why, if they believe Christ is risen from the dead and he's in heaven, that they would not want the body on the cross. So it makes total sense to me. I totally understand why that makes some Protestants uncomfortable. Because for us, we have to understand the teaching of the Eucharist to understand why the corpus is on the body. It's its true presence being made present now. So that's a difference between our sister churches and ourselves. And it does really, I think it obviously changes the encounter for the believer. If one believes in the true presence of Christ at Mass in the Eucharist, risen, crucified, but risen. And also I think the corpus helps us because our life, we're not risen yet. We're not, we haven't passed over yet and gone home to the Father. So we're still here, and our life does have a lot of suffering. And if we understand what the crucifix means, it can help us understand the Eucharist and kind of experience Jesus intimately. So again, Protestant churches, not all, many of them don't have the corpus on there. They don't have the body of Christ bloodied as we do, and they sometimes misunderstand. They don't understand that the reason we do is because of our belief, and what we believe the Eucharist is as given to us by Jesus. So again, it just makes sense to me. So we can see why there's a difference and why we have the corpus on there and why they don't. It's actually easy to understand why there'd be that difference. And sometimes it looks like we don't believe in the risen Christ, but we do. And that's why this program and these days of Easter are really important for us to enter into the joy of the risen presence of Jesus, and also to bring that into our theology of the Eucharist and sacramental encounters with Jesus. We're encountering the risen Jesus, who's, again, we say that in the Creed, is at the right hand of God the Father. And it's a fascinating thing. So it's the Easter season's a great time to better understand the Eucharist. And why is that body still on the cross? Because he comes to us, you know, on the moment of that cross when he gave everything and risen, truly present. So again, we need to really try to understand that God in his all eternal love and graciousness comes into a finite moment of a finite Mass in our finite lives and enters in from all eternity to come to us, to be vulnerable, to be close, to be worshipped, to be received, to be loved and adored. And that's what we're doing. But the risen Christ, his power is present in the Eucharist as well. So we need to kind of have a good understanding of that. So when our Christian brothers and sisters, they might challenge that. Why are you Catholics? What are you doing? He already rose from the dead. Why are you still on the cross? He's not on the cross anymore. Exactly. But he's present on the cross in the Eucharist. So it's a fascinating way to understand, to explain it to people. It makes sense, you know?
Sure. Well, and without the death, there couldn't be a resurrection. One has to follow the other. You can't have the resurrection without the sacrificial death. Father Marcel Tyone is our spiritual director here today on The Inner Life. And our phone number to call in, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. As we're talking about how we celebrate the resurrection here during this Easter season, especially this week, the octave of Easter, these next 7 days leading up to this upcoming Sunday, very, very high celebration every single day as we look at the resurrection of Christ and the hope that brings for us. And what do you do in your home to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. How do you continue that celebration beyond just Easter Sunday itself? And how has that made a difference in the way that you interact with your family, with your friends, with coworkers? Can they tell that you are a resurrection people, that you are celebrating the resurrection every single day this week? 888-914-9149. We'll be back with more with Father Marcel Tyone and your phone calls coming up next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
This is The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond. So glad to have you listening today, joining us here for this hour that we dedicate to spiritual direction every day on Relevant Radio. And today, talking with Father Marcel Tyone, a priest in the Diocese of Providence, Rhode Island, talking about the resurrection. Of course, we celebrated Easter yesterday, Easter Sunday, but Easter is a season within the church. It continues beyond a single day. And so how do we live out that resurrection? How do we carry it into these days and weeks that follow Easter Sunday? How do we continue living out and celebrating the resurrection? How do you do that in your home? How have you experienced that joy of the resurrection in your own life? Or maybe you have a question about how to continue celebrating the resurrection. You can call in and speak with Father Tyone at 888-914-9149 or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. Again, the phone number 888-914-9149. And Father, we've got Dee Dee who's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Dee Dee, welcome to The Inner Life. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you, Father Tyone. You answered my question on how to celebrate the Easter octave on a personal level. But I have a two-part question regarding, I'd like to focus more on concrete family activities because I don't remember ever celebrating the Easter octave. The apex was always Easter Sunday. And my first part, if you can suggest any concrete, I'm glad you used the word corpus, family activities. And the second part question is, I'm not familiar with the concept of solemnity. What does it mean?
Yeah, so the church, right, in her own language or own vocabulary, there's different levels of sort of like when the Holy Father, when the Pope and the Magisterium is teaching, there's different levels of teaching, right? So the Pope has daily homilies and kind of remarks he makes, and then a higher level of teaching, like what we call an apostolic exhortation, like something more formal that the Holy Father will put out. And then there's encyclicals, and an encyclical is a very carefully put together document of a lot of people participating, and the Holy Father puts that out. So there's a sort of most levels of we should pay attention to things, kind of the hierarchy of the teaching offices of the church. Same thing happens in a liturgy. So liturgy, there's all these seasons we know in the church, ordinary time, Lent time, but, and the same thing, in her own vocabulary, we have, you know, there's ordinary time, but these seasons, Christmas season, Advent season, Lenten season, Easter season, they speak to us, but inside the liturgy, there's regular days, and then there's feast days, and then solemnity. So solemnity would be the most important liturgical days. So sort of like a, I mean, every day is important, the Eucharist is important, but it kind of helps us. There's like an ebb and flow, and so a solemnity would have the highest possible exalted attention in liturgy. So the liturgy changes. We can always tell, right? So if you go to daily Mass this week and the priest is following what we call the rubrics of the church, we have to pray the Gloria every day for 8 days, even at daily Mass, because we're in the octave, this great solemnity of Easter. And I think, so when we go to Mass, the Mass, the way it's celebrated, sometimes we add the creed during the, on the, we'll have the creed on certain days of the year, and it's not Sunday, so it's treated almost really given the Sunday status during non-Sunday Easter days. So that happens throughout the year. So it's helpful to know that once you start looking, if you get Magnificat or word of life, one of these kind of things, or you look around, get a liturgical calendar, it helps because you can kind of see that the very liturgical cyclic self speaks to us of what's higher importance and what's less important, not important, but less important. So maybe that's one of the ways we can celebrate Easter, is kind of realizing the solemnity, what an octave is, right? The octave, the days following, the 8 days following. Octave comes from the Latin word eight. Just like we have a novena, right? A novena is what? It's from the Latin word nine, so 9 days of prayer. Octave is 8 days of solemnity. We have it after Christmas. We have it after Easter. And that's maybe if you have little kids, I think why not, you know, if you can let the kids draw a crucifixion scene, a cross, and then an empty tomb, I think that would be a nice activity. If you had little kids, if I had children, I'd probably get a little creative, have them do both the cross and the empty tomb, so they know that the end of Jesus is not just the cross, but the empty tomb, and maybe nice flowers, gardens around it, and give that to an older relative in a nursing home or a shut-in that you know. Put Happy Easter on there. We can still do that, you know, this octave and next week, next few weeks. There's still plenty of time to come up with things like that. And it teaches our children and grandchildren the reality of the effects of Easter, which is an empty grave, and not because the grave was stolen, but because Jesus' body was raised up in glory by our Heavenly Father. And that is some good news. That is a reason for joy. It's a reason to celebrate. And it's a reason to know it has an effect in your life, in my life, that after we die and our loved ones die, they'll be raised up on the last day. And that's an awesome piece of good news that the world needs to hear today, especially when there's a lot of death and destruction and violence and suffering. We have a message of hope. So that's what hope is. Hope never disappoints. So hope didn't die on Good Friday. It's the one thing that didn't die, and the hope was answered by God's own self to us, and He gives that to us today. So we can be a people of hope. You know, yeah, the Ukraine war is terrible. This is going on in my family. It's going on in our country. This is going on in my own life. And yet we can have joy because we have the virtue of hope that comes from faith in the risen Christ. He's pouring out on the cross in risen life from heaven, and again, keeping our eyes. So I would suggest maybe getting to know the liturgy a little better. And there's a lot of aids out there today for that, and for the Relevant Radio app and other apps, Hallow app. There's great things to kind of, I think getting a liturgical calendar would be a good idea. I think that would be great for our families too, and to kind of know when a solemnity is coming and how long to celebrate that. So I appreciate your call, Didi, and that's a great question. So thanks for calling in.
You know, Father, following up on what Didi was saying too, I remember hearing years ago, I don't know who said this, but I heard somebody make a comment about, oh, the week of Easter, that octave of Easter, we should all be drinking champagne for breakfast all week long. You know, we should all be eating steak for dinner all week long. But I think with the family too, that's easy, you know, to say, have some special, you know, dessert maybe every day during the week. Yep. But then also, one of the things I talked with one of my sons about, he celebrated his birthday this Saturday, and we went to the Easter Vigil, and we saw, you know, people received into the church. And I said, you know, here on your birthday, you have hundreds, probably thousands of people being welcomed into the church. What a great birthday present. And we kind of talked about that a little. But as a family, you can also then pray, especially during this first week, for those who have been received into the church.
And you know what's a great idea? I just thought of something that I should have said to Didi, but she's still listening. One thing that's really good, if you're listening, if you've been a cradle Catholic, call the parish where you were baptized and get a copy of your baptismal record if you don't have it, and find out the day of your baptism, because that's kind of an Easter for you, and celebrate that day. And maybe if you have kids and grandkids, getting a copy of the certificate, and you can actually celebrate that day and that, and know that date. When were you baptized? You know, again, I found my own. I looked it up, and I challenged parishioners to do that. But it's a great thing, that it's a great Easter activity. Call the parish where you were baptized if you don't have it already, but find out your date of baptism. And you know, pray for the priest that baptized you and your godparents if they're deceased or maybe no longer so close in your life. And that's a way to celebrate Easter. But that's the day you died in Christ and you were promised eternal life and the body to be raised up on the last day. So I think that's another Easter activity that's kind of cool and fun and a little creative. And so then you can celebrate that as well. But I agree, desserts every night this week, something festive where children could even ourselves just kind of purpose, real monastic communities, very traditional monasteries really follow the calendar, and they may have had a really astringent Lent in the kitchen, and now these 8 days are definitely having cake or whatever it is that in their world would be very remarkable. Right. And they, the monks do that. The monks and nuns do that, I know. And I think that's great for lay people to do too, and rectories and all of us to try to be aware that these 8 days are just super special and super joyful, and every good reason to celebrate in little and big ways.
Father Marcel Taillon, our spiritual director here on The Inner Life, and Father, we've got about 20 seconds left in the hour. Can I ask you to offer a blessing for all of our listeners?
Heavenly Father, thank you for raising up Jesus Christ, your Son, for sending him to us, for claiming us in our baptism, and claiming all our new brothers and sisters this week in this holiest week. You have set aside this week so we can celebrate not only your promise in the future, but your presence with us today. Give us the grace to relish how loved we are and how blessed and promised of your friendship. God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Taillon, thank you so much for being with us today. I also want to say a thank you to Nick Centovich and Sarah Tafoya for their help in producing the program. Stay tuned. We've got Mass coming up next. And remember, go out there and celebrate the resurrection today, tomorrow, through this season of Easter. Happy Easter. Christ is risen.